Mr. Pat Sanson, Reel 1.
My name is Patrick Richard Sanson, and I live in Gerrards Cross. I was born on the 18th of June 1924 in Paddington, not far from Paddington Station. I was educated in Willesden. I went to Willesden County School, which is a grammar school. It was a co-educational grammar school, and I was there until 1939, nearly the end of August 1939, when I was evacuated from Willesden and went to Northampton with the school, and we were billeted in the various places in Northampton. I didn't have a very happy experience with the first one, because they seemed to think that it was nice to have a servant in the house. But the second one was the second one. When I moved from there, at my own choice, I went to the second one, and I stayed with some lovely people who really took care of me. And I was there from, I got to Northampton in 1939. That was about a couple of days before the war broke out. I remember we were sitting in a park the first morning we were there. I think that must have been the day the war started. And there were a group of us, and our history mistress was there, and she came running over, said, "London's been bombed already," which of course was totally incorrect. So we got a bit of a shock, but anyway, that was soon over. And I had a great time in Northampton. I was one of four children, and the other three were 11, 12 and 13 years older than I was, and I was really looked after. I was spoiled dreadfully. And it was really great to get away from home, and I think it probably did me the world of good.
What sort of an anticipation was there in your family when war became imminent? What were the reactions of your family?
Well, I mean, it was my father was away. My father wasn't very often at home. And I think everybody was, you know, scared of what might happen. But I don't think at any time anyone really thought we were going to lose the war. That was the amazing thing. Looking back on it, nobody thought that it would be anything but a good outcome. And when I was evacuated in Northampton, I was there at the time of Dunkirk, and they roped a lot of the kids about my age in who'd be taking French, because there were a lot of French and Belgians were came up by train from the south coast to Northampton. And I remember them marching up Deansgate, and they were in a terrible state, and we were trying to talk to them. I don't think they really wanted to have us practice our French on them, but anyway, they were there. But my family were quite modest. My brother was a conscientious objector, and he was a bit upset. But anyway, I didn't see much of my family after 1939, till the end of the war. But, as I say, it's amazing to look back on it, but nobody ever thought we were going to lose. Ridiculous.
What was your schooling like in Northampton?
It was very good. We went to we went to the Northampton Grammar School, and we went in the mornings 1 week, and the afternoons the next week. We alternated with the Northampton Grammar School pupils, and it was quite good. I took my matric in 1940. In June 1940, and did reasonably well in that. I have a feeling they dropped the standards a bit because of the war and evacuation and so on. And then I took my higher schools, and I did that in a year. And again, I got it in four subjects, but I still think it was a bit easier than it would have normally been because of the war.
What age were you then?
Pardon?
What age were you then?
I was then, well, I was 16 when I took matric, and 17 when I took my higher schools.
During the time that you were at school, did you play sport?
Yes, I played a lot. I played soccer when I was in London, and I played rugby when I went to Northampton, and I took to rugby quite well. I'm a clumsy individual, and I didn't need any skill with my feet really, like you do at football. And I just threw myself about, and I had did reasonably well. And I played tennis a lot and cricket. In fact, we had a great life in Northampton. Great, a lot of sport, there was a club run by a marvellous chap. Called Don Woodman, and we had dances and every sort of activity in there, and it was quite good fun. Lots of girls and when you're 15, 16, and a lot of music, which was rather nice because I'd got into classical music by then, and I used to. A chap I knew well there was a chap called Richard Baker, who's become quite famous on the BBC, and he was a great music buff even then, and so it was a good life.
How did you enjoy the music? Did you go to concerts? Did listen to the radio?
Well, I listened to the radio. They had a lot of gramophone records at the club. I don't know where they came from. I think people had donated them or something. I used to go to a lot of concerts. I did chamber music concerts at the church near where I was billeted, and there was the odd visit from the London orchestras that I used to go to. It was, for someone I was quite young. It was a great experience. Really.
Would you have gone to London with a group of friends or just on your own?
I went back a few times. Obviously, the summer holidays, I went back for a while. And yes, I came back to London. Let me get this right. About January 1941. I left Northampton, came back to London, and went back to school, and really just playing about, because I was just filling in time until I was 17 and a quarter, because 17 and a quarter was the time, was the earliest you could join the RAF.
Were you thinking about that then?
Yes. I always wanted to be a pilot. It's a stupid thing, isn't it? But when I was about 7 or 8, I went up with Alan Cobham's Flying Circus in an Avro 504K. I remember it quite well. And that seemed to start me off. And I always wanted to be a pilot. I read every book in the library about flying, every novel, every Biggles book, everything I could get hold of. And I was determined I was going to be a pilot. So 17 and a quarter was the day. That was the 18th of September 1941, when I was the day I was 17 and a quarter. I went along and had an interview and joined up.
How did that interview go? Can you recall it very well?
Oh, I do. There were four people. Three people are sort of squadron leaders and above, and a pilot officer who, I don't know what he was doing there, but they asked me a lot of questions, and I made up my mind what to say when they asked questions. And I wanted to be a bomber pilot, you see, and they said, why do you want to fly bombers, Mr. Sansom? You know, this is rather unusual. Everybody who comes in here wants to be a fighter pilot. And I'm looking back on it, I cringe thinking about it. I said, but sir, the war isn't going to be won if we go on the defence. I think we've got to be offensive. And they said, I say, what a jolly good answer. So it didn't seem to have the effect that I wanted. But this pilot officer was a funny sort of bloke. He said, what school did you go to? I said, Worsdon County School. Oh, he said, not a very good school, is it? And I said, I don't know what you mean by that, but it's a very fine school. It's a co-educational, it's the best co-educational school in London, you know. And he said, oh, it's all right. I wasn't, so that was that. I remember that quite well. And they said, would you like to go on a university short course? And I said, yes, I would. That was 6 months at university, and I went sent to Glasgow into the University Air Squadron. And that's about 6 months. I don't remember too much about that. I know that I can't remember the subjects that we took, but it was all a great lark, really.
What sort of activities did you have during that time?
What, at Glasgow?
Mm.
Well, a lot of sport. We did a lot of lecture time. We did a lot of drilling. We did the rules of the air. We did a bit of navigation theory. We had astronomy classes. I remember that because I hated them. And the but it was just 6 months really of having a good time and a bit of discipline too, because that was useful.
What was the accommodation like?
I was in one of the university halls of residence in McBrain Hall, just the same as an ordinary student, and it was very pleasant. My father had was running a canteen in Woolwich at the time, and he used to send me little bits and pieces in the post. So I was everybody's favourite when a parcel arrived, you know, a bit of extra jam, a bit of butter or something in, and it was great.
Did you discuss things very much with your father? Were you sort of in regular contact with your father at this time?
My father? Not really. When I finished at Glasgow, I was brought down to London, and we were all brought down to London, and my father went into hospital just when I arrived at Regent's Park. And he was in the hospital in Hampstead, and he died there. And actually, I at the time it was a terrible thing, and of course not only lose my father, but I lost all my friends, because they were posted. I was kept behind because for the funeral and so on. So I lost my friends. But again, I think my father did me a good turn, because I think all my friends at that time went to America or Canada and came back and served in Europe, where of course the casualty rate was terrible. And I was sent to Burma. So, if you like, my father's death was timely from that point of view, but it was a sad time, really.
What did your father do for a living?
On my birth certificate, he's a dyer and cleaner. But he started holiday camps before Butlin. He started a camp down at Camber Sands, just outside Rye, and that's where I had my first flight, when Alan Cobham's Flying Circus came to the camp and so on. And then he went to another camp, and he lost all his money at that one. And we had an up and down charter from a point of view of things like wealth and so on. We went from a big four-story house in London with a chauffeur and two maids to my mother going out to work. So it was up and down.
On the side, you were posted to the Glasgow University. Could you describe the lifestyle a little bit more, the routine and the sort of things that you did? What sort of lectures would you have had?
Well, the only ones I can remember from university people were lectures on meteorology and lectures on astronomy. They're the only two that I can really remember. But I know that we had lectures on engines and that sort of thing. Fairly elementary mechanics. But it was mainly, I don't know why they did it, why the Air Force did it really. Maybe just to give the youngsters a breathing space before they got stuck into the Air Force proper, I suppose.
Perhaps get used to the discipline as well.
That was a good thing, yeah, yeah.
What happened from there? I think you went off to Regent's Park then from there, didn't you?
Oh yes, that was just for a short while. Mm-hmm. Well, I was there about a month. But most people were only there for a week. And then I was sent from there to a grading school, which is was a normal thing at that time. That was at Cobham or Cholham, not far from here, actually. And we were assigned to an instructor, and we had up to 12 hours flying in a tiger moth, and I was terribly worried because of the 20 or so people in my group, about 15 of them went solo in that 12 hours, and I didn't. I was sick, I was air sick, I was, I did very, very badly. And when I left there, I was sure I was going to be a navigator. I didn't really mind that too much because I liked navigation and that sort of thing. I didn't really mind too much, but I made up my mind that I was going to be a pilot, so that's that. And strangely enough, I was classified as a UT pilot, which very good. Anyway, then we went to Brighton for a short while. Are you interested in that? There's a short little story about that, which is quite good. We did a lot of marching around and that sort of square bashing and that sort of thing. And we were taking clay pigeon shooting on the front at Brighton. Of course, the beach was closed and everything. We went down on the marina. Didn't really know Brighton. And we were shooting at clay pigeons, and it was my turn, and I was standing there, and suddenly heard an aircraft, and I looked up, and there was this fighter coming over the channel. I think it was a Fokker Wolf 190, and he went right over the top of us, and we all of us flung ourselves onto the concrete. If I could have buried myself in the concrete, I would have done. And when I stood up, the flight sergeant came over and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I was trying to get away from that aircraft." He said, "Why didn't you fire back?" That was with a double bore shot, double 12-bore shotgun, double-barreled shotgun. But no, that was a fairly easy time.
Did anyone fire at the plane?
No. It went around actually, and it machine gunned a bus. It was on the coast road from Rodine into Brighton. There was a bus, and the machine gunned a bus and killed a lot of children. It was a terrible business, but they were. And anyway, I was posted from there to Blackpool, and then was sent to South Africa.
Could we just go back to the grading school at Chobham? Would you just talk a little bit more about the tiger moths? Because having been up in one myself, I'm very interested in how vulnerable you felt up there. I know you said you felt sick, but did you feel very vulnerable?
No, I don't think so. It was a very simple aircraft to fly, very unforgiving, and I don't really remember much about it. I was so disappointed at my performance there. I was, miserable as sin,
Would you describe it as having bad nerves? Would you describe it as suffering bad nerves, being up?
I don't know what it was. I enjoyed going up, but when it came to working my feet, my hands, I just didn't seem to be able to do it. And as I say, the sickness was a problem too. But I was very miserable when I left there, but when I was found I was going to be a pilot.
Would you just describe the situation when you took control? You were in the back seat, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And the instructor would have been in the front.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But initially you would have been in the front, would you?
No, I was in the... No, normally you're in the back seat. Yeah. And, all I had to do was keep my wings level on the horizon, and I did it. And I was supposed to turn, and I turned, and I skidded a bit on the turn. But it was a bad time. I don't know why I didn't take to it straight away. I mean, I flew tiger moths in South Africa, of course, in my training, and it was very simple. I got on like a house on fire, but that was that time.
And during that first time, you wouldn't have, or would you have done any aerobatics?
Oh, no, just simple. Take off some landing, I couldn't land the thing, I know that. But all, I say, my friends were all going solo after 6, 7, 8 hours, and I was going up with a instructor, and he was shouting at me, and I was getting more and more miserable, but anyway.
How did you find out that you were being sent to South Africa?
When we were issued with cold weather clothing. We went to Blackpool and we were issued with thick socks and thick gloves and scarves and pullovers and everything else. So we said, we're going to Canada. And then somebody said, don't be silly. If you think you're going to Canada, we're going somewhere else. And anyway, just at the last minute, they said you're going to South Africa. And almost a few hours before we got on the boat. And then we got on the boat at Liverpool and away we went.
What date was that, Pat?
That would be, 1942. I would think it's about the middle of, about the middle of 42. And we were on the boat for about 6 weeks, which wasn't a very pleasant experience. We went almost to South America to get to South Africa because there were submarines on the way, and we didn't know at the time, but we went a long way out and back, and then we landed at Durban, and my time South Africa started.
Can you recall the name of the ship that you were in?
Yes, it was the Strathaird. It was a P&O boat.
Was it a steamship?
It was either Strathaird or the Strathmore. I think it was a Strathmore, one of the two. Yes, it was a luxury liner. It was a great thing, but...
Would that have been the first time that you'd been abroad?
Yes.
Well, how did that feel?
Exciting, I think. And I think, like most of the time, while I was in the Air Force, I felt very buoyant. I mean, it was a great experience, and I loved every minute of it. Really, individually, I didn't like sleeping in a hammock or something like that. But you know, the whole thing was looking forward to going to South Africa. And when we landed at Durban, we got off the boat and we walked into town. And on the way, I bought an enormous block of chocolate, which was you couldn't get in this country in 1941-42. An enormous block of chocolate, had a hand of bananas, and a watch. And I had the watch until it went up in the house fire in 1997. Again, great time.
So when you stepped off the Strathaird, what sort of feelings did you have being on foreign soil?
Oh, very excited and very strange. I mean, it was, I don't know when it was we got there. I think it was December. It was our autumn, but of course it was their spring, and it was just getting warm, and it was lovely weather. I remember looking around at the houses and was amazed at the number of corrugated iron roofs there were. The whole thing, we were very well taken care of in Durban. There were people waiting in cars to take us out, because they all thought we were Battle of Britain pilots, I think, instead of pilots under training. But we had marvellous bribes, bribe fleece and that sort of thing. Then I posted to up to the Transvaal, to Potchefstroom.
Is that quite near Johannesburg?
No, I think it's about a couple of hundred miles to Johannesburg. It's in the Transvaal, and it's in a very Africana area. There's a big agricultural college there, and so on.
What was life like there initially?
As far as I remember, it was all flying. We just flew and flew and flew every single day. When we weren't flying, we were doing ground lessons, lessons in the classroom about everything, about flying, the engines, the airframes, and so on.
Would that have still been Tiger Moths?
Yes, that was Tiger Moths, yeah. And I got to know the Tiger very well. I went solo very quickly. I went after about 3 hours. I went solo. I don't know why. I just took to it. But the Tiger Moth was a very, very simple aircraft. And of course, in the Transvaal, you're about 5,000 feet above sea level. And the Tiger Moth only had a ceiling of about 9,000 feet. So you could get above more than 4,000 feet above the ground, and it was very sluggish at that altitude, but we didn't get up there very often, and we flew around, just did exercises and bit of formation flying in Tiger Moth and cross countries and low flying and so on.
Could you talk a little bit about the formation flying, what you can recall about that?
Well, yes, it was just, never more than two of us did it. It was just to test your ability, I think, to control the aircraft in that sort of situation, because you're flying, you know, you had to flying like this, and you go like, you know, you're changing the levels all the time. And